something that God has laid on your heart for the church.
Shouldn't have worn a hair clip or earrings. Nobody told me that. Move this out of the way. Okay. Okay. It's nice to see you all. My in-laws come to listen to me. They're so kind. So, I've been asked to speak this evening on parenting. I got no idea why they asked me to do that. Apart from maybe because I've got so many kids, you think I've got more experience than anybody else. Or maybe because my husband did the preaching rotor and he actually knows all the lessons I've had to learn over the years. So, as a church, we're made up of lots of different people. We had lots of different roles in life, lots of different jobs and qualifications. So, I'm a florist. I love all things creative. I think, Joe, you work with young people, don't you? And Anna, you used to run the hospital in Merthyr? Yeah? There's lots of different qualifications right across the church, but does anybody have a qualification in parenting? No? Well, I thought maybe some of us would qualify for the PhD in parenting, parents who are haggard and distressed. Have any of you had that one? Yeah, well, the reality is that most of us, the only training in the field that we've had for our parenting is the homes that we've grown up in, isn't it? The environment that we've been raised in ourselves. And sadly, often, that hasn't been a positive experience for some people. And as we grow our own children in our own homes, quite often we revert back to the things that we've learned from our own parents, even though there are numerous things that we swore we would never say to our kids. You know, you see these things on Facebook, 10 things you can guarantee your mother said to you, and you've probably said most of them to your children as well. And if we're not careful, we can slip into a mode of parenting which is the same that we've experienced without thinking about it. Have you ever been in one of those lazy rivers in one of these nice kind of pool centres and you just pick your feet up and you go with the flow and you just go around? And sometimes parenting can be a bit like that, can't it? If you don't think about the direction you want to go in, you just pick your feet up and you allow the tide to take you in the way that you've been moulded, really, as a child. So it's really important for us as parents to create a healthy environment for our children to grow in, because we are the ones who've got to set the tone in our homes, and we are. Kids are not going to set the tone of what they're raised in, okay? So we as parents have to set that tone. And if we have grown up in a home that maybe was a home of hostility, what would be created in us is fear. Yet if we grew up in a home which was a home of love and acceptance, peace would be created in us. So it's really important that we set the right tone in our own families for our own kids to grow up in that good environment, okay? So what's our job description as a parent? What's expected of us? Well, for those of you who've had children, had babies, you'll remember well those days when you had that test result and you knew you were pregnant, and maybe you were excited or maybe you were terrified or shocked. And then you get to the date of your first scan and you go and you see the picture on the screen and you're like, oh, wow, this is actually happening. This baby is actually growing inside my belly. I can see its little heart beating and reality sinks in. And then you start to grow a little bit and your bump starts to show. Actually, when I was having Katie, I had a very large bump. So I didn't look pregnant at all from the back, but you know, it was one of these ones where you turn sideways, it just went on and on and on. And I was in Tesco one day and this lady walked up to me and she said, oh my word, how many babies do you have in there? Are they two or three? And I went, oh, there's only one. And she went, you're enormous, and just walked off. And I was like, okay. People seem to think they can say whatever they like to you when you're pregnant. Yeah. But eventually, you know, you come to that point where baby's ready to arrive and the stork flies in and drops it into your arms. If only it was that simple, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? And you hold your baby for the first time and you look at them and something happens to your heart, doesn't it? You get all these new emotions rushing through you and you're like, wow, the joy and the pride and the disbelief that this has actually been created in your own body. And then, you know, you might see your strapping husband holding this little bundle of joy and maybe a tear rolling down his... No, I wasn't referring to you, love. you might see a tear rolling down his cheek, you know, and you know, big blokes were really maybe hard and tough. Suddenly you see them like cooing over this little tiny baby. That's fabulous, isn't it? Yeah, and then, you know, if you're in hospital, you might have the midwife showing you how to change a nappy. And if you're breastfeeding, helping you with the breastfeeding, that's your job, isn't it? Or to how to prepare bottle feeds or whatever. And then they hand you the baby and send you home. And you're like, hang on a minute. What am I supposed to do with it, you know? You're expecting me to look after this? What are you gonna train me in? Who's gonna help me? And you're suddenly laden with the responsibility of not just a baby, but someone's life. And it's really daunting. I'll just move this box out of my way. You wonder, will I ever sleep ever again? Will I ever get any rest? Well, I became a parent myself at the age of 17, which was really young. I had to grow up very fast and suddenly found myself thrown into a whole new world that I wasn't expecting to be in at that point. Or maybe like if you've adopted a child, you know, that's a whole new ball game again, because you get a child with a whole different set of needs. And it's really daunting, isn't it? You find yourself with this massive responsibility. So maybe you've come here this evening and you don't have kids. Sometimes, you know, talking about parenting can be a really sensitive subject for some people because they've wanted to have children and haven't been able to. Or maybe you've had a child that's grown up and actually their life hasn't gone in the direction that you would have wished for. And that's really painful as a parent because you want the best for your kids. So sometimes it's really hard to hear somebody talking about parenting. And for some of you, you end in a position where you're a single parent. And that's not what you expected from life. Didn't expect to be raising children on your own. And that's really, really hard going. Because parenting, you're giving out all the time on you. You're constantly available to your kids day and night. You're caring for their physical needs, for their emotional needs, and for their spiritual needs as well. And that's really hard going. And I just want to say, if you're a single parent here this evening, I just want to say God bless you. God sees your heart for your children. And it just blesses him so much what you do. It really does. Like, God's heart is just overwhelmed with love for the way that you have taken on that role as a parent on your own, and he really wants to bless you. So, sometimes you can think with the talk on parenting, if you haven't got children yourself, or maybe if your children are grown up, actually, maybe this doesn't apply to me, but I just want to encourage us all this evening, because we are actually the body of Christ, and we're all called to help and support each other. So, you know, when you see that analogy in the Bible, you know, you can't say to your foot, oh, actually, I don't need you today. I'll manage with the rest of my body. You know, we're all together helping each other. And whether we've got kids or whether we know somebody who's got kids, like, we're all called to support each other in this role of parenting. And the other thing we're called to is to be role models. So there's a lot of children in this church, aren't there? And we've got lots of aspirations for them, and we all need to support each other in modeling something that's really beautiful to them, something about what Jesus is to us and what Jesus can make us and the difference he makes in our lives. And we're all in that together. We've got to help each other in that. So, you know, you're that saying it takes a village to raise a child. Well, that's what we are. We're a village. We're a community of people. And we're all in that. And that doesn't mean you go around telling people's kids what to do or saying, oh, your child did this. But, you know, just supporting each other, because it's hard, you know, bringing up children is hard work. So we need to support each other in that role. So I want to have a little look at what the Bible says about this subject of parenting. So I don't pretend to have all the answers by any stretch of the imagination, but 2 Timothy says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. Okay, so our reading is from Ephesians. I left my Bible over there, but thankfully I printed it on my notes. So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So I'm not going to focus tonight on the part addressing children, because most of the kids have gone out anyway, or not all of them. But also, I feel like if we get our part right as parents, then it makes it easy for our kids to obey us. So I just want to focus on the second part of that reading from Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So even though I'd love to think that it's addressed to fathers because mothers get it right all the time, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Sadly, ladies, it's not. It's addressed to fathers because this is written into a culture that was very patriarchal, and that's just the way this society worked, that the father was the head of the home, and anything that was addressed to that family would be addressed to the father of the home. Okay, so we've been studying this book of Ephesians, and Paul has written this letter to Ephesus to encourage the Christians there in their faith, to remind them of who they are in Christ, and something banging on this mic. Right, so that's my train of thought now. Yeah, so he's encouraging them in the way they live as Christians in Ephesus, okay? And in Ephesians 5, it says, imitate God, therefore, in all you do. That's a high calling, isn't it? It's a really high calling. Actually, can I just grab my Bible? So when we think of God as our Father, what sort of things do we think of if we're to imitate him as our Father? What sort of things, what are the characteristics that you love about God? Shout out.
Love.
Yeah.
Patience.
Sorry?
Patient.
Patient, yeah.
Kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
Grace.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Okay, so I was just flicking through Ephesians 1. I love that chapter. I know I've read it a few times leading worship. But Ephesians 1, so I'll just pull out a few things. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He loved us and chose us to be holy without fault in his eyes. We praise him for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his son. He's so rich in kindness and grace. He purchased our freedom. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. There's just so many characteristics of God in that first chapter of Ephesians that are amazing. So I just want to pick out a few things, really, from that passage. So first of all, I just want to talk about God's mercy to us. So if there's anybody in the whole world who had the right to show his anger to us, it's God, the only perfect being. But he didn't do that. He chose to show his mercy to us. He chose to forgive us. And through Jesus' death on the cross, he chose to restore the relationship that we had with him when mankind was first created. He wanted to bring his people back into that perfect relationship. And that's what he's done. What a God. He loves us so much. How blessed are we? He loves us so much. Ephesians 2 says, God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. The thing is, you see, as long as sin hadn't been punished, there was still going to be a divide between us and God. We were still going to be separated from him. But Jesus brought us together. The relationship was restored, and punishment and wrath and intimidation have all been removed from us. God is now a safe place for us. He wasn't before that. We were under his wrath. We were under his anger. But now he's a safe place for us. Our relationship now is based on love and safety and security. We have open access into his presence. He is there with arms wide open. I love that parable of the prodigal son, you know, where he totally messes up. And yet, when he comes back to his father's not there with a rod to beat him. His father's there running to him to accept him back, you know, and that's God's heart towards us. It's one of love and acceptance. He is always available to us. He loves our presence. He loves us to come to him. That's who he is. He has shown us his mercy. And the other thing that I really drew out as well is that God saw what we could be. He valued us as individuals. I found it really funny as my boys have grown up, my older boys. So when they're young, you know, you kind of wonder what they'd be like when they grow up, don't you? But it's really funny now seeing the older two as adults and then seeing like that their personalities were there right at the very beginning. So my oldest boy, he's very independent, isn't he? Always has been, even younger than one, I would say, if he could do something himself, he did not want you to do it for him. Always been very grown up for his age. And, you know, you see him as an adult now, and you could just see it was there all along, you know. And my second one, Tom, he was always very fun-loving, affectionate, very deep thinker. And you see him as an adult now, and that's exactly what he is. And he's the image of Gareth. Where's Terry? You saw him, Terry, didn't you, in town the other day? The absolute double of his dad, you know, and he bears his father's image. And God is our father. He has put his image and his stamp on all of us. And he can see through his love and his spirit working in us what we can be one day. So Jesus said to Peter, didn't he? You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. But when he said that to Peter, Peter wasn't a rock. Peter was still in the process of getting there. You know, he failed the Lord so many times, didn't he? He was arrogant. He was like, I'm not going to let that happen to you. No way. Nobody's coming near you. You know, he lost faith when he was walking on the water. So many things with Peter. He denied the Lord. But Jesus said, you're my rock. Because Jesus looked to what he could be. Once his love and his spirit affected Peter's life, he could see what difference that would make in the person he would become. So I just want to ask us this evening, do we look at our kids here like that? Do we look at them and see where they are now? Or do we look at them and see where they can be when they've experienced the love of God and the Holy Spirit living in their lives? Because our Father's image is on them, just the same as his image is on us. And the same way that he's influenced our lives, he can influence their lives, and they can reflect and they can bear their Father's image as well. So the other thing is that God disciples us. So in this verse, it says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now that word discipline carries quite a harsh connotation, I think. Whenever I read anywhere, I think of it as quite a harsh thing. And to me, it like didn't go with the beginning of the verse that says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but discipline them. You know, it almost feels like it doesn't go together. But the word discipline actually comes from the word disciple. And as we know, Jesus had 12 disciples. So while discipline is a word associated with punishment, discipleship brings the connotation of a learner and a teacher, doesn't it? So you've got one teaching and one learning. And I read this quote the other day. Did I write it down? Anyway, I'll try and remember. I read this quote the other day. I had to reread it because I thought initially it was a little bit arrogant, but it is actually really beautiful. So it's something like, the goal of discipleship is to bring out in the learner, or bring to the surface in the learner, the very best of what's in the teacher. And I said, oh. And then I read it again. I thought, yeah, so you, whatever God's done that's good in you, you're trying to draw that to the surface in the person you're teaching. And I just love how God disciples us, because through Jesus' death and resurrection, fear has been removed now. And God's a safe place for us. And he doesn't intimidate us. He doesn't say, do this or else. He operates out of love, doesn't he? And fear is of the enemy. It's not of God. Love is of God. Fear is of the enemy. And this new humanity that we are part of, and that the Ephesian church was part of, is based on love and relationship. That's what we've got with the Father. We've got love and relationship. So if you have an environment of punishment, what you're really trying to do is affect somebody's heart by what you do to them on the outside. Yet when you disciple someone and you teach them and you bring to the surface in them the good that's in you, you're actually doing something on the inside, and it works out the other way, yeah? The difference that that can make in a child's life is that it actually makes them very powerful. Now, some of us don't like to think of powerful children, but children are all individuals made in the image of God, yeah? And we want our children to grow up, to be able to express themselves in a healthy way, to have opinions in a healthy way, to be able to say what they think, not to be subdued all the time. I grew up in a culture which was very much children should be seen and not heard. So you weren't allowed to speak unless you were spoken to, and you certainly didn't say anything if your parent was telling you something. You didn't say anything back. But what can happen sometimes then is the children will be raised in an environment where they feel subdued and they never feel able to say anything. And sometimes, sadly, people will continue that for their whole lives and always feel that they can't speak what they think or discuss what they think. They might be oppressed by someone and not say anything because they feel that that's normal because it's been their upbringing. Yet when you teach a child to have opinions and do that in a healthy way, they become empowered, don't they, to live a life where they can express themselves and they can talk openly about their feelings and their emotions. And that's a really wonderful thing to see. And it's our responsibility to train them in that way. If we don't do that, they'll either fall into that model of always being subdued, or they take on what they've received, and they start mimicking the way their parents have been, and they become the oppressor. They become the one putting people down and having the authority and being unhealthy in relationships. And then we go back to the beginning then of that lazy river, where it'd been mimicked time and time again through the generations. So God doesn't treat us in that way. He disciples us, and he also gives us freedom to choose. There's so many verses in the Bible about freedom. It's for freedom that we've been set free. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. God gives us freedom. So I know a family who in their attempts to parent well didn't give their children any freedom at all. So even right into adulthood, they controlled everything their children did. Even as adult children, they were controlling their pay packets, they were controlling what they ate and where they went and who they hung out with. And it was so unhealthy because they never had that freedom to actually become individuals, to live as individual adults and to be able to live in a way that they thought was right. You know, the scriptures say lead a child in the way that it should go, not in the way that you want it to go. Yeah, and those children have grown up and they've just lived under that kind of that really tight rein. And the thing is, we're called to raise adults. We're training children, but we're called to raise adults. We want our children to get to a point where they can live individual lives, healthy lives, and be responsible for themselves, yeah, without needing the governance of a parent. So when we first lived in Merthyr, we had a student come to stay with us for a few days. And I think he was with us about 4 or 5 days, wasn't he? And he didn't do a thing. Apart from say thank you for his dinner when he left the table, he did not lift a finger, and I was quite put out about it. Because I had, you know, family to look after, and I vowed to myself, do you know what, my boys are not going to grow up like that. I'm going to make sure my boys say thank you, and they're going to clean up after themselves, and they're going to help. So I decided all these things that I wanted my boys, because I really had the boys at the time, that I wanted my boys to be as they grew up. And, you know, we've got to have good aspirations for our kids, haven't we? We've got to decide what we want them to be like as adults, what lives we want them to live, and work towards that goal. You know, we want to teach them the word. We want to pray with them. We want to think, right, when they're adults and they're independent, this is how I want them to be. And let that be our goal, and let's strive towards doing that, and let that kind of fuel us. Right. So how do we go about this? It can be very daunting. How do we go about this process of raising adults? Well, I read a quote online the other day, and I can't tell you who said it because I can't remember. But it said, you cannot impart what you do not possess. So I just want to encourage us this evening to keep close to our hearts the things that we want to imitate. Keep close to our hearts the person we want to imitate. Be imitators, therefore, of God. Start each day by asking him to help you to imitate him. And end each day by saying, Lord, help me. Yeah, and bring to him things of the day that you've struggled with, that you've found difficult. You know, that verse that says, be being filled. We all need to be filled with his spirit. He is the one that gives us the power to do what we need to do. Read the word. You know, let the word feed your mind, feed your heart. Because when we're in a good place spiritually, we can operate out of that, can't we? We can operate out of that, and we can model something to our children that is really wonderful. And when we do that, we create a safe place for our kids. You know, when we said earlier, God is a safe place for us. And that's what we want for our children. We want them to have a safe place as well, where they can come. Because if they don't have a strong heart connection with us, then we're not a safe place for them. And they can't come to us. And they don't have that experience that prodigal son had of parents with arms wide open. And like, oh, this has been so convicting for me, like studying this the last few weeks. Because so many times I haven't operated out of that when my kids have come to me. I have been angry with them for getting it wrong. But that's not what God's like with us. Even when we mess up, he gives us the freedom to mess up. And his spirit convicts us, but he doesn't do it harshly, because God isn't harsh. God is love. And he comes in a loving, fatherly way, and he says, I love you, and I want you back. And he runs to us to embrace us. And Can we have that same attitude to our kids, that they know even when they've done wrong, that what they're going to get from mom or dad is arms wide open and I love you and I accept you, even when you've messed it up? Now, there's lots of processes you can go through in terms of dealing with behavior and stuff. I've been reading this book. I've read it about 3 or 4 times, actually, and every time I finish it, I think I should probably just read it every week. Loving Our Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk. Get a copy of this. It's absolutely fantastic. It's been the best parenting book that I have read, and it's all the basis of my message tonight is what this book is about connecting with your child, about having a heart-to-heart connection, showing the father's heart to your children. It really is worth his weight in gold. And there's loads of things in there, tips about dealing with, you know, fallout and behaviours and stuff. I don't want to go into that tonight, but get a copy of that because it's really, really helpful. So the one thing that I don't want to happen tonight is that I really don't want people to be feeling guilt. Because often when we talk about parenting things, you know, we think, oh, I haven't done well in that. Really haven't done well in that. And I know the enemy loves to point the finger. He really loves to convict. So if you're feeling convicted right now, I want you to know that there's no guilt, okay? Because there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, and I'd actually just like to pray for a moment and just ask God to speak into our hearts. Father, if there's anyone here who's feeling guilt because of a broken relationship or maybe for times when they haven't handled things well with their kids, I pray, Lord, that you would just come in and give them peace and help them to know that you still love and accept them and that you do not condemn them, but that you are grateful that they tried to parent their child as best they could. Lord, I pray that you would prevent the enemy from coming in and pointing his finger at us. Lord, I thank you so much that you love and accept us even when we've failed. And thank you that you give us the freedom to make mistakes and to learn from them. And that you pick us up and you dust us down and you say, okay, come on, do it again. Let's try again. And I thank you that you forgive us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for anyone who's feeling that here this evening, just pray that you would bless them, Lord, with your peace in their heart. Amen. So don't underestimate how powerful an influence you can be in a child's life. We see Timothy, don't we, in the New Testament, who was massively used in the church, New Testament churches, and the biggest influences in his life were his mother and his grandmother. Yeah, so all of us can be massive influences on our children. I've seen my oldest two boys lead worship and preach, and I can't tell you how humbling it is as a parent to see a child that you've given birth to and raised stand in front of a church meeting and to teach you God's word. It's incredible, you know, and when they were small, I had no idea that they would do that. But the joy that it brings your heart is just incredible. It really is. So I just want us as a congregation to have a really big vision for all our kids can be, for who they can be and for how they can serve our Savior and how they can build the kingdom of God. So just how as a church can we help each other with that? How can we encourage each other? I think we'll just take 2 minutes just to chat among ourselves, and if anybody's got suggestions they'd like to bring to the mic at the front. I read a book once called Home for Good, which is all about adoption, actually. It's an excellent book, and it says everybody is called to adoption because we're told to care for the fatherless, but not everybody can adopt a child, but we can all be involved in it. So you might know somebody who's adopted a child, but how can you support them? And that's the sort of thing I'm thinking this evening now. So as a church, some of us have the direct responsibility of raising kids, and some of us are around people who are raising kids, but we're all involved in children's lives. So just have a little chat among yourselves about practical ways that we can actually serve each other in this. And if you're able to come and share some of those, I think it'd be really good. And even if there's somebody who says, well, actually, sometime it would really serve me if... So there was a time when our Katie was very, very ill. She was ill for 9 weeks. And it was a really hard time for us as a family. And for the whole 9 weeks, I didn't cook a meal, I didn't wash any clothes, I didn't clean my house, I didn't even take my kids to school. But those things all got done because our church family stepped in, and it was just so humbling and so amazing. We had two meals delivered to our house every day. My washing got taken, it got brought back ironed, people came in and cleaned my house. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see the body of Christ working together in a time that was really needy for us as a family. And I just want us to have that heart for each other, that we support each other, because, you know, there's times as parents when it is really hard, isn't it? And we just need to be aware of how we can support each other through parenting and help each other through those times. Yeah, so let's encourage each other to be imitators of God. Let's have really high aspirations for what we want our kids to be like. And let's believe that we've got a faithful God who can accept them, yeah, and who's going to do stuff in their lives and is going to make them into something beautiful. And let's be those people who are displaying that, displaying what he's done for us, displaying what he's made us into, that we are being the body of Christ and showing our kids how beautiful that can be when we are loving and caring for each other in that same way. Okay, so we'll just have 2 minutes, chat among yourselves, and let's have open mic and come and share. Okay. Does anybody want to come and share some thoughts? Can't turn around to the other side again. Thanks, Carl.
Any excuse to go to Mike in a sir? My wife says I got hobbit feet. It's really harsh. I'm at least 3 inches taller than a hobbit. It's an important 3 inches. We're going to agree with one of sort of what you said. Me and Kate, we've got amazing, amazing friends in this church, and I just want to kind of give them a shout out. And it's Carl and Maria today. We've had a mental day, and we've been sitting in our house out and stuff, and Kate's not very well. And they kind of invite us for lunch, and we sort of said, oh, look, can we give it a bit of a rain check because we got tons on, and they just were like, no. what do you mean no? Rain check? No. And literally they came and they got the kids for us, 11 o'clock, took the kids out. The kids were like super psyched about it all. And the kids had a whale time, and then they said, look, just come when you're ready, dinner will be on the table for you, and then you can go off and do whatever you want to do. And do you know what, guys, you've blessed us so much. Thank you ever so much. You guys are awesome.
Somebody else?
This fits in with something that Angela was saying, but I think as a parent, and I suppose it fits in with what Gab said as well, I'm so grateful for the people who inputted into my kids who weren't me. You know, that there were youth workers, people in the church, grandparents, all of those who gave really, really useful input into my kids. And I think as a parent, I certainly felt that I should be able to do it all and fulfill all my kids' needs and be a super parent. And actually, you know, you get your kids' piano lessons because you're not an expert in piano, don't you? You know, you can't be everything to your child. You know, at the end of the day, you're responsible for God, you know, before God for your child's upbringing. But sometimes that includes allowing other people to help and not feeling like you've got to do it all yourself. So that means there is a place for everybody in the church, not just those who have children, but you know, everybody of whatever age, to input as well. But sometimes we need to swallow our pride as parents and let other people input into our kids as well.
It's really good. I remember actually on my first two babies, people say, oh, can we do something for you? And I'd be like, no, we're fine. And then from number three, I was like, yes, please. anything would be helpful. Anybody else want to come share anything?
I was just saying to the ladies now, and it might seem insignificant to people when they do have a chat with the kids, but honestly, I know how much mine value that and just it shows people are interested and just taking time to just have a chat with them. And it's just really important. We can all do that, can't we? And it's a blessing both ways, I think.
Definitely.
And I have certainly for mine, I appreciate, obviously, they haven't got a Christian dad at home. They haven't got a dad at home. They've got their dad, that's fine. But it is lovely to have, you know, a male Christian role model as well and people talking.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like that. It's a real blessing.
Yeah, fantastic. Anybody else? Okay, let's just pray to close then. We'll worship this wonderful Father we have. Father, you're so good to us. We love you so much. We love your character. We love that you're merciful and that you're so good. And that you're so forgiving. And we love that you teach us along the way and you give us freedom to make mistakes as we're learning. And that you're not a demanding God, but you're full of grace and love. And Father, I pray that as the body of Christ here, that we would have that same heart to the children that we interact with each week, whether it's children at home or children around us, Lord, that we would display your Father's heart to them, that they would see the beauty of who you are in us. We love you, Father, and we want to reflect your glory. We want everything we do to point to you. So would you help us, Lord? Would you help us to be in your word? Would you help us to pray each day? Would you help us to be being filled with your Spirit? And as you guide us, Lord, help us to guide them. And Lord, we have great aspirations for the children of this church. They're the next generation church, Lord, and we want to see them growing up as faithful followers of Jesus. We have faith for that, Lord. We have faith that once they have encountered your love and your